gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to go ahead and call to order the Southern Nevada District Board of Health Chief Health Officer Succession Committee meeting on November 14th, 2019. This time, verify that we're in compliance with the open meeting law.
We are.
And we have a quorum present, so we will proceed at this time with item number two on our agenda, the public comment. This is an opportunity for individuals from the public to come and speak on items that are pertaining to our meeting agenda today. And so we'll go ahead and open up the public comment at this time. If you'll state your name and address for the record, we would appreciate that.
Good afternoon. My first name is Thomas, last name is San Nicolas, S-A-N-N-I-C-O-L-A-S. SCIU leadership at SNHD sought feedback from employees and what leadership qualities they desire in the new health officer. We have a vested interest in the selection of the new health officer because the decisions and actions ultimately affect the health of the residents, their families, and visitors to Southern Nevada. We conducted a four-question survey through various methods and aggregated the data to present it to you today. We have it here if you would like. We can pass it out. No personally identifying information was collected, but surveys were given to bargaining unit eligible employees. We collected results from over 28% of the bargaining unit. There were four questions, two of which were quantitative, two were qualitative. The first question was, do you think the next health officer at SNHD should be a licensed physician? 54% said yes, 37% said no, with others either not providing a response, stating no preference, or they were unsure. The second question on the second page was, what leadership style are you looking for in the new leader of SNHD? The employees were able to express themselves in this open-ended question, and our survey report shows a word cloud that demonstrates frequency of selected words used. The top five adjectives and nouns used were honest, community, democratic, transparent, and servant. The survey also showed that the desired leadership style was of that which mirrored employees' beliefs of personal integrity, behavior, and work ethic. The third question was, what qualities should the new leader of SNHD possess? Employees had to select from 10 different selections with the option of self-reporting a quality that was not listed. A majority of the responses were from these seven qualities. One, speaks openly with no hidden agenda. Two, always tells the truth, even when it involves an outcome that others do not want to hear. Three, local, understands public health needs, programs of Clark County and Southern Nevada. Four, analyzes current health needs and envisions a better future for healthcare. Five, displaying excellent communication skills. Six, excellent listening skills. And seven, exhibiting skillful interaction with employees. Question four asked employees to describe the ideal leader of SNHD. This open-ended question was asked last to allow the employees to really think about all the previous questions and help them describe what kind of leader they would want if they could choose. A similar word cloud was generated, and the top five words that were used included honesty, transparent, communicative, knowledgeable, and fair. The responses overall described a competent individual that embodies a leader that shares information with integrity, conducts themselves with a strong work ethic, and has a high emotional quotient with strong interpersonal skills. In closing, SEIU, alongside the employees, urged the committee to focus their time and energy to commit to find a strong candidate that exhibits the aforementioned knowledge, skills, and abilities that will transform and progress the district to meet its mission and vision for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. I learned today something new, that there's a word cloud. About word clouds, and I love clouds, so I'm surprised that I don't know about word clouds.
I'm a millennial. Yeah, that's what we do.
Victoria Harding, SNHD and SEIU. So, you know, with the survey that we did, and after looking at this information, I really was thinking that maybe we need actually a second survey as well to get into some of the other things that we might want in a leader for this organization. And just even in the stuff that you're going to be seeing here from, Amy probably put this together, from the candidate assessment and development form from the Korn Ferry Four Dimensions of Leadership and Talent, we got quite a lot into traits. And as you can see, a lot of these traits are basically, you know, about the things that we've been missing really in the last couple of years, and not necessarily about the things that we really have to have. And I really like to see what we feel is stable things that we feel are traits that somebody should have. We also didn't get into any of the competencies and maybe experience that this person should have, and just some of the other things that I think as people kind of settle in and kind of figure out, you know, how they feel about a new leader, because, you know, things kind of happen fairly quickly, and we're kind of in that bubble zone between a new leader and, you know, there's a lot of changes going on and things, and I think people need time to process things as well, and kind of figure out, like, even management and stuff, like, what do I need now that I didn't have before? What can a new leader do for me? And I think, you know, that starts at management and it gets down to the employees, and people have to start thinking about what they really do need. I think that doesn't happen overnight. I think we get a very reactive answer. So I would hopefully put out another survey that might get a little more in depth on some of the things, or even maybe give you some interview questions that the employees would really love to hear, something like that. But this is, you know, kind of what the people would say. Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria.
So I'm Lynn Oliver, and I believe that the majority of you know me for a different reason. I stand today to speak, first of all, to say I was really appreciative of my colleagues at having provided this really thoughtful survey, and isolating words that have come out as a result of the specific questions they ask. It is not a surprise that the biggest word in the word cloud under question 3 is honest. And it should not be a surprise to any of you that live in this area and listen to the news and know what it was like, that it was really difficult here for us. And for those of you that are aware of the difficulties we've had, and you should be aware, except for maybe those of you that are newer, I think we have an opportunity to change the culture as it was. Certainly for me, as somebody who is an 18-year plus employee, I had a lot of questions based on what I had seen in the news. And I to this date, have no answers. And I understand that some of these things may not be answered because they're subject to very various laws. But what I found more surprising and maybe a little bit confusing is that we now have who's in charge of us now, and we don't have answers. Not a statement was put out after the departure of Dr. Eisner. Not a statement that said it was this, it was that. We are getting more I don't knows. And I think that speaks to the way management works. I work for you. You're above me, I report to you. You need to know something about what I'm doing. And those that maybe report to me need to know something about what I'm doing. I feel like that's seriously lacking right now. There's a lot of, I had no idea what was going on, or this stuff was supposed to have happened, but we haven't been told about it, and now it's like a deadline. And it needs to be different. For various reasons, we're going to need to make sure that, you know, funding streams, we're aware of it. This is a grant position. So many people are going to be laid off in this time frame if we haven't done X, Y, and Z. I think it's an opportunity for us to take a look at what hasn't worked up to now that we've been pursuing in public health. I can think of several things, but why should I be the one? The people who are in charge of us now are the ones who should know what's not working. And they should now take the opportunity to maybe clear those things away and move forward with the process that says we are now going to be no longer focusing on this. We realize it didn't work. We're going to focus on this, and that's where we want to go. I think the one other thing that I would like to say about the person who will run this health department is this is an international city in every way. We entertain international guests here, we entertain American guests here, and I feel like we need to be an international public health destination. It's an opportunity. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Oliver. Anyone else from the public that would like to speak during this public comment? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment and go on to item 3, adoption of the November 14th, 2019 agenda. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
A motion on the floor, all in favor?
Aye.
Second.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about the second. So we have a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That passes. Now we're going to go to item number 4, report, discussion, action. Item A, nomination of the chair of the Chief Health Officer Succession Committee meeting. We are missing two people.
That's, you've got a quorum.
So.
Who's missing?
Commissioner Seckerbloom and Commissioner Kirkpatrick. So. We can't proceed without doing this step first? Can we?
Well, the chair leads the meeting.
Right. Okay.
So we need to have a chair in order to continue.
I nominate Scott.
Second.
I'm fine. Okay. Well, I thought you nominated Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
I second.
Soliciting.
See what we have?
Okay, we have a motion or nomination of Scott Black in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, here we go. Good times ahead. Item B, approved Chief Health Officer Succession Committee meeting minutes of September 6th, 2013. That was a long time ago. Anybody have a chance to peruse?
Can any of us?
Dr. Nemec was in the area. He wasn't on that committee, but he was on the board.
Yes, you can. It's a good faith belief that the report, that the minutes have been prepared appropriately.
Okay.
I read through them. They're quite thorough.
All right.
So a motion to approve those minutes of.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? That passes. Now we'll go to item C, succession planning and recruitment of district health officer. We have three components to this. The first one is succession planning and recruitment options. So we have a presentation on that from Ms. Hagan. So we have three options that we'll review right now, and she'll explain those to us in relative detail such that we can make a decision on how we'd like to proceed.
Yes, so you can follow along on the first section of the notebook in front of you.
Amy, can you press your button? I'm not
yes.
sure if you're on.
It's on.
Green.
Okay.
Just talking
can
to
you
my
hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So at the first section is the DHO/CHO recruitment options. And we have three main options. The first is a full recruitment by an outside agency. The average cost of this is about $25,000 for the service and up to $7,000 in expenses. There's no internal involvement. The agency will meet with the board and other stakeholders. The agency will develop the recruitment brochure based on meetings with the stakeholders. No internal employee review of candidates. The outside agency will review and select candidates to present to the board. Again, the estimated cost is about $25,000. We are waiting for one additional bid to come in, but the lowest bid that we have for the full service recruitment is $25,000 plus $7,000 in expenses.
Can I interrupt?
Yes.
How many bids have you received?
Only two. We're waiting on a third.
Does the expenses include transportation of the candidates to and from?
No, it would not. This is the administrative cost of the recruiters and their travel costs or their printing fees, so on, administrative types of fees. The advantage of this is there's a placement guarantee. So if our chosen candidate would not make it through the first year, the recruitment agency would run another recruitment for us at no cost. And the disadvantage is no internal assistance to identify or help you to identify the best organizational cultural fit. Second option is a partial recruitment by an outside agency. Our lowest bid at this time is $19,000 plus up to $6,000 in expenses. The agency will provide sourcing services, and the district will help to create the brochure and the job description.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, it's okay.
What do you mean by sourcing service?
So sourcing and part of recruitment is the identification of the candidate. That's what we call sourcing.
Okay.
And. The agency will provide leads, and the HR director will screen the candidates based on the minimum qualifications that you choose. Quotes for partial recruitment will be available for the board meeting, and we have received two, the lowest being $19,000. Advantages of this is external assistance in sourcing while maintaining internal control of the process. Organizational culture screening will be more in-depth with internal screening tools. So this one would help us with the sourcing, but we would help to identify the candidate profile for you based not only on KSAs, which are knowledge, skills, and abilities, educational requirements and such, but we would help you identify internal screening tools to pull out what we would believe is desirable organizational fit culture. The disadvantage is no guarantee on placement with this one. If the candidate does not make it through the first year, we would have to start the process over and we would incur the cost again. Option three is a full internal recruitment where HR will conduct the full recruitment. This will include brochure development, job description development, sourcing, and recruiting. The HR director will present candidates to the board and the board will decide which applicants to review. An estimated cost, and keeping in mind this is a soft cost because you pay our salary regardless, but we estimate that it's about 160 hours or $7,120. The advantage is cost and local control of the recruitment, but the disadvantage is no assistance in sourcing and lower candidate reach as well as no guarantee if the candidate does not successfully complete the first year. We don't believe that option three is a viable option because we don't have access to the databases that these recruiting firms do to reach the passive candidate, to reach candidates that might not be actively looking, and we believe there would be a handicap in the sourcing part of option number three.
Question?
Yes.
But in this day and age, I don't want to just throw three out. And I'm not going to give my opinions there. I'm just asking, in this day and age with electronic, way everything's done electronically, there's all kinds of ways to place this ad or whatever you want to call
there
it.
There are. And I think if it were just an ad, we would be equally effective, but we would not reach the passive candidates. And let me explain that if I may. CPS was in charge of my recruitment. I did not actively apply for this job. I didn't know about this job. They reached out to me to ask me to apply. That's what we would lose from 100% internal recruitment.
Question.
Yes.
What methodology was used in 2013?
Dr. Nema, can you speak into the mic?
What methodology was used in 2013?
I believe option number two. Does anybody remember specifically?
It was option number two.
Any other questions for Ms. Hagan or thoughts on the options that are before us? Mr. Stewart, you're fine.
Do we want to deliberate on these options now?
Absolutely.
Oh, well, I'll give you my thoughts then. Both public sector that I'm in, private sector for most of my life, I'd do number three hands down 100% of the time, especially living in Southern Nevada. And somebody mentioned the local. One of our public speakers mentioned that it should be local, and I agree with that. Although I caveat this, knowing that this is a very specialized and specific position, and it's not just everybody can come in and fill it. I get that, but so. I temper that, but if it was pretty much anything else, even at the city of Henderson, I just feel that we would have enough, and private sector, that we have enough information, we have enough knowledge, we have enough understanding of what's needed, that we can direct and find that. And the other important thing is culture. We understand what we're looking at, trying to build the culture here that we want, and that is a respect for employees, opportunity for them to grow and mature within, and so to me, number three is hands down the best way to go. But I temper that again with knowing that this is a very specialized, specific position. I'll throw that started.
Sorry, I'll stop. Is it working?
Mm-hmm. It's on.
Okay. For the record, Commissioners Tick Segerblum has joined us, and we are on. What's that? We're on agenda item. Can someone grab him a copy of the agenda? Awesome. I didn't touch that. What's going on here? I didn't use a dryer sheet on my shirt. Yeah, a lot of static coming from this guy.
We got
options.
Do you want to
read
those
yeah.
three?
Can I have a question?
Go ahead.
So I had a question. Is it possible to split the job?
Yes.
Yeah, that's option two. There's a hybrid approach. Option one is a firm that would handle the process in its entirety with very limited interaction with the team here. Number two would be using them for areas in which they have expertise but not yielding that personal touch and internal component, and then three would be to do it entirely internal. And so right now we're just evaluating those three scenarios.
My idea was split the actual job, so have a doctor or an executive director.
Well, we are not required to have a physician for this position. That's why you see /DHO/CHO, because we are only required to have a district health officer. We have a CMO, that's our requirement, as well as a chief administrative nurse. Both are placed and in their current roles. So you have the option of recruiting a physician or a non-physician.
And in 2013, split the job?
Well, I think that we've done that with the reorganization. You'll notice we have an assistant district health officer now that is a CMO. So I would argue that that probably is splitting some of the job. I'll let Dr. Legend speak to that a little bit more, but I believe we have made some of those modifications.
Well, I don't know how to define splitting the job, but as Amy explained, this job could be actually done either by a physician or somebody who is not a physician. If the director happened to be somebody who is not a physician, then the organization need to have a chief medical officer that would take a responsibility for the medical aspects of the operation. So that kind of, I don't know if that answer your question, but
would that person report to the director?
Yes.
Yes.
And we have set that structure up for you so that you have a choice now.
So who is currently the assistant?
Dr. Legan.
Yes, ma'am.
So you were both doctors?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
I just would like to see an administrator as opposed to a doctor.
And you now have that option.
And that was made possible with the legislative change.
It was, in addition to the restructuring, allowing for the assistant and incorporating the chief medical officer right in there, correct?
Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Stewart.
You didn't come early enough. We tried to get you to be the chairman.
I've already got the House authority, obviously, yes.
Yes, you do. I just want to go along with Dick here. As I've thought about this over the last couple of months, to me, the most important thing is a person that can run an organization. And let me just use an example from my background, civil engineer. Civil engineer can be a really great civil engineer and know how to do everything, but then when he turns around and tries to run a civil engineering company, he might not have the tools or the skill set to do so. He might be a great civil engineer, but it's too different in my mind. You certainly have to know and understand the organization, what it's trying to accomplish, and the mission and all that goes on. So you have to have that background, but just because you're a civil engineer doesn't mean you're going to run a civil engineering company successfully. That's an example I'd use here as well.
And speaking as a lawyer, just because you're a lawyer doesn't mean you can supervise anybody.
So are there any other thoughts from the board or questions relative to the three options that we're considering?
Yes, I have a comment. I was around in 2013, and one of the problems with our recruitment at that time was a very shallow pool of applicants.
Yes.
We ended up with three, and actually in the end, only one was fully qualified. And that was part of the reason for separating out the chief health officer from the chief medical officer, so that we would have a broader pool from which to draw. There was public comment about, ideally the chief health officer would be a physician, and of course I've got a bias in that direction as well. However, there's just a lot of doctors such as myself that don't really have much skills in HR and administration and in budgeting, and so I think that's why maybe ideally it would be a physician, but from a practical standpoint, we may end up with somebody other than a physician as the chief health officer. So I think it's important that we get as broad a pool of applicants as possible so that we'll have a better opportunity to select the most promising candidate.
So I have a question, Amy. So if we went with option three,
yes.
Do you have confidence in our ability to find a broad pool of candidates?
I can find you a broad pool of candidates. What I don't believe I can deliver on as much as an outside agency is to find the passive candidates. If you're okay with that, understanding where we're at in the economy and how few people we recruit for many of our positions, then I'm absolutely game to try, and we will dedicate and make it our priority. I just don't have access to those databases that the recruiting firms have developed. They're proprietary, so it's, but without the medical, yes, I believe we'll be able to deliver candidates.
Has it been posted yet?
No, absolutely not, because you have to, number one, you have to tell us how you want us to do it, and number two, we have to finalize the job description, which is within your purview, so.
Well, I thought last spring we did something to put it in magazines, or are we talking about this last spring about putting out the word that this vacancy was going to come up?
Well, we might have put out word, but nothing like a recruitment. No, we cannot do that until you authorize us to do so.
So what portion of the 160 hours that you estimate would fall under, if you looked at option two, would fall under the the professional consulting firm or recruiting firm? In terms of, because in that case, you would be dividing the tasks.
Correct.
Based on skill set or ability.
They would be doing the heavy lifting, so I think it would really probably be closer to, and then this is a guess, because 40 hours versus 160, although I will be actively engaged with them all the time. All their questions will come to me. All of the guidance will come to me, so it might be more than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Stewart.
Pretty adamant about three, but I did say I had a caveat. And listening to you, and I did say it was a very specific position. We want to watch it be done, but to me, money spent on this is vital. We've got to get it right. We've got to get the right person. We can't dink around and come up with the wrong person. We have to make sure we do it right. And to do that, I understand we need a large pool from which to choose from. However, I still come back to the fact that I think we need to have hands-on internals so we can get that person that we want that's going to build the culture that we need. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm kind of going towards two.
Just to ask a question, so why does one have to be so limited? I mean, couldn't they come back with 10 people?
I don't understand the question, I'm sorry.
Well, number one, your outside agency is runs it, but then they come back to us with three people?
Well, they would come back to us with whoever they found qualified. There's not a number, a minimum or a maximum number. It would just be the number of candidates that present with minimum qualifications.
One just indicates the scope of control of the process, and that would be entirely in the hands of that agency versus a hybrid approach.
But as long as they come back with everybody that passes the test, it seems like they're going to, based on your testimony, they're going to reach out broader than you could do. It seems to me that we want to reach out as broad as we could, and if it costs a few $1,000 more, how about that?
Well, and number two does that as well. So the hybrid approach, the only thing that we gain from going from option one is They'll do all the background check, they'll negotiate the contract for you, which I don't see as a value add because our attorneys are gonna have to look at it anyway, regardless of whether or not they
But do they have to negotiate those things? Can't we just?
That's what I'm saying. So in option one, that's what we're buying. So if we don't wanna buy that, then let's go with option two, which is the sourcing.
Let's just keep our staff out of it and let them go out there and do what they can do, and then they bring back people, then we can decide where to go from there. But just think, given the turmoil here, the less we have to do with it, the better, in my opinion.
Well, in comment, for option one, I see the major difference is that the recruiter's doing the interviewing.
So in option one, they're going to do a full interview. So in option two, they'll do a phone screen for us, which ultimately whittles down the candidates, but then option one will be a full interview with them before they do a candidate profile presentation for you.
Does staff have any recommendation about?
Yes, we recommend option two.
Mr. Stewart?
Question option one, and I'm gazing here and I didn't read it. I guess they would do all of this under option one and bring back X number for us?
Yes.
To then have final interviews and whatnot with, is that?
Yes, that happens in option two as well. But in option one, basically it removes any internal, no one internal will have anything to do with the recruitment.
Well, let's explore that a little bit if we mm-hmm. could, because mm-hmm. I appreciated your comment, Dick, about mm-hmm. this has been such a mess for so long.
Yes.
That maybe we should be out of it. Now I know I'm jumping all over the place, but I guess that's not the problem. But I would like you to address your thinking on going with two and having a certain degree of, and be obviously be well defined as to mm-hmm. what that degree of involvement is.
But yeah.
Could you give us your sure. thinking about what Commissioner Sarah Bloom mentioned? Because it's about a point.
It is. My concern with going with option number one is that there are recruiters working on multiple positions. They don't, well, of course they want to please us and meet expectations. They don't have any internal understanding of our culture. And explaining that is very difficult. It's not always a tangible thing that we can explain. I believe having option two allows us to give you some insight about how we feel they will fit into our culture. Ultimately, you're 100% the decision makers. We don't influence them in recruitment in any way, but I do believe that we can give you insight that external recruiters could not.
If they work for us and we define what we're looking for on the front end,
right.
Is that also a way to inject the cultural components?
So long as you can explain it appropriately, and that's the difficulty,
okay.
right? So you can tell me when I'm interviewing what the culture is, but then I come in and I actually realize what the culture really is.
Gotcha.
Peeling back the onion, and you have multiple different people helping you get there. You can keep us out of it from a review perspective, which I think is probably part of the concern, but you can still yield from our insight how we believe this person will either successfully or unsuccessfully transition into this position.
I guess that's my point, is it depends on whose perspective they're giving. So I want to make sure that you know, the union's position and the working people's position is what's expressed to them as opposed to the management's position, and that's why I would be concerned having management involved in this process at all.
Well, I hope that we're moving to a more joint type of relationship where it's not employees versus management, and management would advise based on what the employees value as well. That's a big priority for us right now.
For you, but I'm just saying the other side of that is the employees themselves. So
sure.
We don't want you speaking for them, which is the process you're describing to me.
Well, if I might speak to that. I think that cuts us off at the knees. We're trying to create the culture that we want to create by saying there is management versus labor in picking this person. That's been the problem in the past. If we're trying to set a culture here, from this board all the way through the organization, I think we need to lead in a way that shows that we're serious about creating a culture that everyone has respect for, and management for labor and labor for management. And by separating them in this in this process, I feel that's counterproductive to creating a culture that we're all trying to accomplish.
I'd like to, if appropriate, ask someone from the union what their opinion is on 1, 2, or 3.
Jackie Raish Curl, I'm working in environmental health. I'm the chief steward for the supervisory unit. First of all, I would really like to express my gratitude to this board. I have been an employee with Southern Nevada Health District since 1996, and in all those years, and I've been actively involved in the union since at least 2008. I have never seen a group of our board so actively engaged in a meeting or even a full meeting, and I really want to express my gratitude to you for that. As far as the options, we are working very hard to mend the relations between management and union and effectively change the culture. I do think that our current HR director brings some insight as to some of the positions and characteristics that are needed in order to heal the relationships. She has been integral in choosing some of our other lead management positions, and my division in particular, where we've seen a bit of a positive change from what we had before. And I can see that being a positive as opposed to completely leaving SNHD out of the loop. The one thing that I will say as a long-term employee that we have lacked, even when we've had strong chief health officers, we have not had a chief health officer or a leader of this organization that has sound business practice principles. And while we have the professional medical staff, which is very necessary for a public health organization, we get a lot of brilliant ideas that come forward, but people don't always think about the steps needed to effectively implement those ideas, and that's where we've been working. And somebody with a strong business background, I think, would bring that to the table and really help us grow in the right direction.
So are you saying that, and thanks for the compliment, by the way, we want to be the best board we possibly can be and the most engaged, so thank you for that. So are you leaning towards two?
I would lean towards two because I think having the other organization do the groundwork and bring the people forward is definitely a benefit as opposed to just our isolated group. But I do think that having some insight, because like I said, if you're looking especially business-wise, they may not have some of the softer skills that we've seen be more effective in some of our more recent management recruitments.
Thank you.
I was able to hear from the rank and file.
Great, thank you. Is this microphone working?
Your button's off.
Oh, it is? Well, that could help. Hello. Okay. Back.
With Victoria Harding, SHD and SCIU, I would personally lean towards number two because I think we do need a large pool to draw from. What it used to be was we used to self-create our own successors, and realistically, over the last 5 years, we got rid of having anybody kind of below that would have those qualifications to ever take over. So we lost a lot of our institutional knowledge, community knowledge, a lot of those things. I would love to see that come back, but that is not going to happen overnight. We're not going to grow that person. So I think we're, no matter what, probably going to find somebody who is not a member of us, although maybe there is, I don't know, I don't want to say something to anybody else who might be blind. But so I think we would need the pool, and just realistically, trying to explain our culture and what we have experienced was difficult, just to explain that to board members over all these years and trying to get people to actually understand the true realities of what's going on. I think it is important to have the district, whether it's Amy and I together and Jackie included, or however, explaining that to who's ever recruiting. If we want to work on culture, then you have to have all of us involved.
Thank you. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. After whoever this person is gets up and running, the number one goal in my mind that person is to immediately create a succession plan and start building. That's how you build the culture.
How's it going?
It's been a crazy day. Sorry I was late.
Well, did you know you were chairman of this committee?
I am not. I was dealing with boring issues. The boring thing. So I apologize for being late. So can I step back and ask a couple questions? So Annette, when we changed the legislation that established two, like a chief medical officer who did chief medical duties in particular, and then we had the other person who overseen actually what went on in the building, and then they had their perspective assistants. We discussed that at all? Because I feel like we never implemented the legislation that was passed. Because you're a great chief medical officer doesn't mean that you're great with employees, right? Or just because you're great with employees doesn't mean you're a great chief medical officer.
You just hit my record button.
I won't say
anything. No, no, no.
You guys
keep
catch
going.
Me. Catch
it's,
me
it's
up.
It's an important point.
Catch
so
me
keep
up.
Keep going.
What was my legislation that I had to fight for against the board at the time? So,
you did a great job.
But I just because I felt that there were.
Yes.
That way. And it's the way 90% of the rest of the country has best practices. So,
you did good.
So are we going to go in that direction?
That's my
opinion. I think we should, but I'm biased. But go ahead.
That could be the recommendation to the board in terms of the individual candidate that we get to fulfill this DHO position and the direction to ensure that there is a succession plan in place.
But there are two different job descriptions as a whole?
There's a CMO, Chief Medical Officer, and the Dr. Legan is the Chief Medical Officer prior to assuming responsibilities as the acting CHO. He is the Chief Medical Officer and the Director of Clinical Services. So that role that's...
And then what was Dr. Iser's role then?
Dr. Iser was Chief Health Officer, which was also the District Health Officer. Mm-hmm. The statute changed the title to DHO. Since he was already the CHO, this board gave him the permission to continue using CHO versus changing over to DHL.
Removing the medical doctor requirement.
So, but going forward,
we can do either medical or administrative.
And that's what you want, correct?
Right.
Yes.
I mean, it's the best practice around the country. Okay. What else did I miss?
I just want to make a comment. Regina Ellis, SEIU. For the survey, when we surveyed the employees and asked about, question one was, do you think the next health officer of SNHD should be a licensed physician? The majority of the employees said yes. So I just wanted to put that out on there from an employee perspective. Also, on the...
Can I ask why do they think that's different than the chief medical officer? Do you know? More in depth, it's just that when we passed the legislation, people felt that the medical officer could handle the medical component. So do you know why the question, was there any more to the question than that, or did people allude?
Well, the question basically was, do you think the next health officer of SNHT should be a licensed physician? And the overwhelming answer was yes.
59%.
So, we weren't talking about, we didn't go through the legislation, we didn't, talk about district health officer and chief medical officer, we didn't go through that. We just asked employees what they thought.
I don't want it to be perceived that I am disregarding what the employees are saying, but I feel that there's a medical component to the legislation. You could relay that back or have them elaborate why they think you need two medical folks and not someone who can actually work with folks.
Yeah.
Maybe phase two of the survey process.
Yes.
Yeah. Clarification.
Yes. So I just wanted to also add, like, when you're asking about the recruitment options, everybody has different viewpoints, but on number one, where the full recruitment is done by the outside agency, you know, in a sense, it's nice to have an outside agency where the internal, nothing internal is affecting who is being recruited, so that there won't be any thoughts of, well, you know, this was kind of biased, right? I mean, it's not really that much of the big difference between number one and number two, where the number two is partial recruitment by an outside agency. But if the full recruitment is done by an outside agency and there's no internal involvement, then the agency is going to meet your requirements based on the criteria that you make, you know? And the cost, I mean, the cost is higher, but what's going to happen is they're going to take over all of the duties that you guys would have to take over if the cost was shared.
And so that would be more robust sourcing as well in the passive candidate. Yeah. That would be the benefit in that regard. So.
Yeah, and I mean, you're going to have the candidates come forward here anyway, and you'll be interviewing them, and they'll be requirements based on what your criteria is for them. So I think that's also a viable option, number one, for recruitment by an outside agency.
Thanks, Regina. So one thought for my colleagues on the CHO, the search committee here, would be, could we, you know, and this kind of goes back to what Jackie said, we're a hands-on board, we want to make a difference, we want to be involved. Would we be willing to, if you look at part number two, item C, the agency will provide leads, and the HR director will screen candidates. Is there a viable option for us to play a role in that initial screening? Would that be of value to us as a search committee?
Just point of order.
You're absolutely, you're the board.
Okay.
Okay.
The DHO, it would serve at your pleasure.
Right. So we could sit alongside Amy once we get this, you know, they meet the minimum requirements, the filtering out takes place, so we're not, you know, that doesn't become our at least in my case, fourth part-time job, you know, to sit and interview a lot of folks. But once we narrow it down to a viable group of candidates, instead of having the onus entirely on HR, perhaps we as a search committee can join you in that effort. I think that would probably streamline and make it a lot more you know, valuable and efficient. So what are your thoughts?
I would expect that you would want to do that.
And,
okay. Also, I need to point out that the initial screening on minimum qualifications, there's no subjectivity applied. Either they meet or they don't
meet.
So I think that's important. I would not be determining
it's pass-fail,
about,
right.
Correct.
Right.
I would not be inserting influence. I would be, tell me what you say is important. I isolate those KSAs, those knowledge and abilities, and I let you know where that candidate stands. The subjectivity comes in where you apply that, not us.
Okay.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
So can we add to the recruitment component of it? So one thing that we do at the county that's truly a big deal is when we get down to a certain amount, we do employee town halls, mm-hmm. so that employees can ask the questions. Employees can see what their mindset is, and crazy enough that a lot of times when you get to the part of what we all think who the right person should be, by the time the employees ask questions, we go, oh, we didn't think about that or that. So could we add to how the recruitment is done, or is this kind of a set in stone, or is this a basic?
No,
we're just selecting methodologies today, and then we can define this in the phase two, correct? Once we pick one, two, or three, then once we pick one of those, then we can hone in and customize it for our
That's
needs
correct.
Based on what she's saying.
That's
Would that
correct.
Be appropriate?
Mm-hmm. And town halls are
that.
Okay, excellent.
So then can I also clarify on, so it's item number C, so then the way that we also do it at the county is we get the full list mm-hmm. of everybody that applied and where they rank on qualifications and what their deficiency is, so that's what you would be doing. So not just, not excluding anybody, but just telling us as this board, here's where they ranked, here's the qualifications that they were missing, because then it gives us, because listen, a lot, 90% of the people can pass the personality test on paper. 90% of them can pass the qualifications. I had a person that, and I'll use my own, that applied, an executive assistant, master's degree, had all these great things, interviewed well, but then when it got down to it, she couldn't use Microsoft Excel. And I said,
how the heck do you get to be an executive assistant and not know how to use a computer, right? So that's why we changed our process at the county so we could see everybody, because maybe this board has a little bit, maybe there's a qualification we thought was important but really wasn't as important, and then you could see the whole.
Well, there are nuances that aren't going to be captured in the resume.
Right.
There are nuances that the recruiting agency is not going to be able to capture even when they do their initial interview. Those nuances, you are going to be able to identify. The nuances, staff are going to be able to identify. And I think that's one reason why when UMC was looking for their CEO mm-hmm. several years ago, they had the candidates come in at a town hall meeting
right.
and answer questions.
Mm-hmm. Makes it, I think it makes a difference.
So we have looks like Victoria has a comment to add, and then I'd like to ask if the board has any additional questions or thoughts, and or if we're ready to make a selection.
I just wanted to say on the CMO-DHO issue, of why people think that there should be a doctor kind of in that position. When the legislation went through, it initially, the legislation was supposed to be CMO-DHO. And what happened is Dr. Iser lobbied to have the CMO underneath the DHO. And we all saw what that happened as employees. And we said, okay, so this DHO may not have, if they now don't have to be a doctor, they may have just business consents, they might have no sense at all, whatever's gonna happen, and our CMO position kind of becomes defunct. Because that DHO has to give up those responsibilities to the CMO in order for the CMO to work. And that didn't happen. So, we as employees.
Well, I can assure you Dr. Iser didn't lobby me, and it was my bill. I'm not sure where it changed.
Yeah, I listened to his testimony. Anyways, so that to us was that person who's ever at the top has to understand public health and they have to understand medicine. That was for us. Now, if we go into a different culture and things are different and a CMO can actually be a CMO, then maybe that is going to be different. But you know, when you're talking to people who've gone through this, it's, you know, it's scary for us.
Got it. Thank you. Any other thoughts from the board?
And I'm hesitating to go here because this is really fantasy land, la la land in my thinking. But as I've sat here thinking about this, put my rose-colored glasses on, I think this is an opportunity to build some real bridges. Going through together in a very specific and organized fashion, going through together as an organization, a board, HR, the unions, in a way that could really help us find that right person and that everybody can buy in on. Maybe I've got rose-colored glasses on and think that, given from where we've come from, that we could automatically jump there, but I just wanted to put that forth. This might be a really good way, number two, of being able to build some bridges and get past that crap.
There's a public health unicorn out there. I know it. So, with that, I guess, are we prepared to make a selection?
I'd like to make a motion.
Thank you.
I move for option two.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Did you want to add something?
Can I just clarify that on number C, that it will say that it'll give, there's more direction that you not only are going to screen them, but you're going to give the full list of every application and rate their deficiencies of why we don't feel they're qualified.
And that can certainly be part of your recommendation to the full board.
Okay.
So we're selecting the basic methodology now, and we can refine it in preparation for presenting to the floor.
Just to clarify, I think that this committee and the HR director is going to interview the people.
Indeed.
Yeah, I think there's some refinement on this number two. For instance, the HR director will present candidates to the board. I would think that they'd come here first, and then this committee recommends to the board. Is that
That could certainly be the structure that the full board wants to have.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
So I see, Commissioner Cooper, what you're saying here. I think there's lots of things that we need to kind of refine in here.
Okay.
And do your points with them.
And if I may just further expand on that. So when we do make a selection of the company that you'd like for us to go with, that will be part of that process when they come in. You will identify specifically the steps you want us to take in recruitment. We'll go through and finalize the job description. You'll identify the KSAs required. We'll talk about how we'll screen culturally. I mean, there's many, many, many options. We can even do things like Hogan or DISC or Ford Lenses for you to give you a bigger idea of kind of where that person will even mesh with you all. So we have many, many options, and that will be finalized at that point.
Okay, so we have a motion. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You bet.
So
you're good.
I don't ever talk.
This is important. No, this is important.
Kind
this
of in important. My wheelhouse with the organization. And
absolutely.
Stuff.
Thank
so,
you.
So that's why I stuck around. I should have asked this before. You've got two bids on.
Two, correct.
Have we or anybody worked with either of these organizations?
Yes.
I mean, I guess where I'm getting at, are we comfortable with these, either or of this organization's? That they can deliver what we,
yes,
you're hearing that you want.
Yes,
that
so we want. Correct. We do need to get one more bid to stay in compliance with our rules, our CFO's rules over there, and that point we'll select. We are most comfortable with CPS. We have used them. I have used them multiple times over the course of my career, and I believe they'll deliver well for us.
That's important.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a motion. And a second relative to selecting item two, of course, which will be defined moving forward to present it to the full board. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, that passes. Good times. Now we're going to talk about recruitment next steps. You want to help us through that, Ms. Hayden?
Yes. So we will have to determine the agency, and I'm going to defer to Annette on this one just for a quick second. If we don't have the third bid, can they give us guidance to go with the lowest bid? Okay. So
this is a professional service.
Okay. So
correct.
Oh.
This is for transparency purposes.
Okay,
that we want to get as many bids as
okay.
we can.
Yeah, and we want the best operator
correct.
As well. So
okay, so if you give us that guidance to go with CPS, then we can go forward, and what we will do is we'll set up a meeting for the board.
No, we're not doing it with them, are we?
I guess I'm asking Annette. So with the professional services, we can still go out to bid. But
we can, yes.
But for as far as guidance, we don't necessarily have to give any, except we can say go for low bid or go for. Because it's professional services, it's under $50,000.
Right. It's not required to go out for bid at all.
Right.
We do that for various positions, solely because we want to get a broader. Access to a broader pool. We want greater transparency, but it's not required. The instructions, the direction that you give us is you want to go with option number two, we want to refine option number two, and this is how we're going to refine it. And that's how we move forward.
And then as far as picking someone, we don't have to pick someone today.
Correct.
But we also don't have to get a third bid if we think these are options the board could ask that a representative from each one of them come so we could ask them.
You could do
their
that,
succession.
Yes.
I mean, right?
You could do that, yes.
So I guess it's a hybrid of what you're trying to say. So we don't necessarily have to get a third person, but I think at least for the board, we probably want to hear from them on guarantees because
I will tell you
the same audit meeting I was, and I didn't like my guarantees. I might be a little stickler.
No kidding. The only problem, the potential problem with that is. Let me back up. Conceptually, I absolutely agree. Have the various agencies come in and do their dog and pony show. You can ask questions and get a feel for them and their qualifications. The board meeting is next week. So the ability-
They want the job, they'll get here, right?
The ability to get them in here, we might be able to do it, but it may not work.
Well, even if it's like a job interview, though, if they want it, they can at least do it over the phone so we could ask questions.
Could they call in?
They could.
I saw that two of the three representatives on the one bid are local.
Right. I will tell you that the one bid is $50,000 versus $25,000. So there's a big difference between the two. And the higher of the two I've never worked with or heard of. So I can't make a recommendation as asked by.
The other issue is on the second bid that we have, Kern?
Kern, correct.
They're significantly higher than CPS, but the way they've structured their phases, is not significantly different from what, from the way CPS does it, and it's not significantly different from what other recruitment firms do, but they're charging more money for those various phases.
Maybe they're better.
I think, well, more money doesn't necessarily mean better. I
that
think
does mean that worse.
No, it doesn't. You're absolutely correct. My point is that if we're going with a hybrid with the recruiting firm doing their job and us doing our job, particularly if this board is involved, then I think we have a better opportunity to identify the nuances that we know we need this candidate to have. And we've got a better shot at getting the appropriate candidate for the health district over
so,
the long term.
So can I ask this question though? So sometimes though, we just want, sometimes, people go with a firm because their reputation of at least getting them the job interview is better, so they're a little more expensive because they have a different level of candidates. Or sometimes what I don't want to see from any firm is that they I want them to be like a headhunter, right? They go find us the very best, and sometimes that costs. And even at the job, but I'd like to hear from them, how do they go about recruiting folks? How do they go about recruiting our internal folks as well, right? Because we want to make sure that everybody has that opportunity so that we can pick what's in the best interest.
Then we can move forward and try to get as many of these organizations to come next week, or at least call in.
Why is that to do next week?
Well, that's our next meeting, and I mean, to keep the process moving forward, we have to make that selection in order to start the process. And so, I mean, we want to make a good decision. We want to, you know, be diligent, deliberate about it, but we want to probably make it, you know, sooner than later as well. So we want to balance the time factor with the quality factor, making sure that both of those are in consideration. I've read through the CPS presentation, and then the Korn Ferry one is in here as well. You know, we can take the time on our own to familiarize ourselves with it, and then that would probably streamline any interaction we could have next week at the board meeting. But I think an in-person and or via phone opportunity for us to ask questions, I think, would be appropriate, because that looks at their ability as well as the cost. You know, because both are important consideration. So any questions about that? About is that something that we can live with for next?
One question is, what did we just individually look at the resumes or their presentation?
You know, if you're, you know, if time permits for you to do so, you know,
yes.
I'm not giving you a homework assignment.
No,
but
no, I'm trying to understand,
yes,
the process to get between here and the board meeting.
Next Thursday, yes.
Okay.
To familiarize yourself with the two viable candidates, both the pricing, what they bring to the table, you know.
And then you would propose that the whole board makes that decision, or we as a committee make that recommendation to the board? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, okay.
Well, you all have already had a robust discussion about Kern and CPS. So depending upon what their discussion is during the board meeting, right now you guys are leaning toward option number two. You can still do option number two. The concept of option number two with is it Kern?
Kern.
With Kern.
Korn
Ferry.
Yes, that's correct.
That name is not sticking in my head.
Korn Ferry is fine. You guys.
So
they need a marketing.
You guys have a general idea of where you want to go. Being able to speak with the representatives of these recruitment firms will help solidify that direction that you want to go in. You can still make that recommendation. If it changes, all of you are going to be there anyway.
So can I ask this, are there any other firms out there that we might be missing, or is this kind of an industry standard?
What we did was we reached out to health districts across the country to ask them what firms they had used, and we reached out to those firms, some of which have replied to us and some have not.
How many were there in total, roughly?
Do you remember? Five.
Five, okay. So you
yes.
Only heard from the two of them.
Two, that's correct.
Yeah.
And
what is
another
pending?
Option, I'm sorry?
And what is pending?
Yes, they've said that they're going to respond to us, but they have not yet. The other option that you have is, if you notice throughout the proposals, there's multiple references of other government agencies, you might reach out to your counterparts to get feedback on how that firm has done. So there's cities and there's districts in here listed with direct contact phone numbers of either the board or city council members, county commissioners, and so on, that might give you some insight.
Okay, so again, a question, just a question. So this committee is recommending to the board next week that we utilize option two.
Yep.
At the board meeting, we will, as a committee, recommend one or the other of these firms to help us with option two. Is that where we're going with this?
Yes, we'll evaluate.
Between now and then?
Yes.
Okay, yep. Thank you.
All right. In terms of other next steps, it seems like that's really the next step is the action at the board meeting. And that would solidify our direction in terms of our search, and then we'll go from there beyond that point. So that would conclude the item two. Item three, recommendation to the full board at the November 21st, 2019 board health meeting, which I just talked about that as well. So we zipped right through that one. Before we close out this item and go to the second public comment, I would just defer to the board one more time if there are any final thoughts as we embark upon this exciting opportunity to pave the future for our agency, to find that ideal person that meets the needs of our employees, that meets the needs of our community, and hopefully we'll rain down a whole bunch of awesomeness out of that word cloud. Anyone else?
I would like to know how we compare as far as health agencies around the country, how our salaries compare, what types of recruitments have been going on, so we have some comparison of what we're looking at.
Can we, is that something from an industry standard, comparative, is that data that we can we put our hands on that through trade agencies or professional agencies?
Well, we have a salary sourcing system that it will allow us to benchmark against the organizations we choose. Are you asking for a salary just for us to call similarly situated cities or counties?
Where do we know how we rank as far as agencies around the country? Size of a budget, size number of employees,
we must
population base, pay and benefits,
absolutely.
Things like that.
Yes, absolutely. We have access to that data.
Okay, so you can provide that to this,
yes,
to the full board or to this committee.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there maybe not by next week?
Sure.
By the time we meet
again, Sacramento,
yes,
similar
absolutely
thing. Just
absolutely.
We can find an area where it's similar as far as what they do.
Give us some context.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, Dr. Nimick.
In the details of the qualifications of the applicant, it says if the applicant is a physician, they must have a current license to practice medicine or osteopathy in our state. And my question is, if we have a separate position of chief medical officer, if the applicant happens to be a physician, have an MD with a public health background or a business background, and otherwise be qualified, why are we requiring that they have a license to practice medicine?
I agree.
Yeah, that would be an artificial disqualifier that might limit our search. And if the function of the chief medical officer, who has all those credentials and licenses, is satisfactory, then we could conceivably omit that component.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that a legislative requirement?
Not that I'm aware, but usually what most agencies do is they allow a 6 months period for that person to get the license. So,
but he's saying, why would we require that if we have a chief medical officer who is an MD or OD who serves in that legal function? The chief medical officer may or may not be a doctor, maybe a PhD, maybe an MD, maybe a doctor of osteopathy, coming from another place, not here to set up shop as a doctor, to come here to run our agency. I think we definitely need to give consideration to that.
And if they haven't completed a residency, they would not be qualified to have a medical license in our state.
I understand what you're saying, and we will walk you through an exercise where you will dictate to us what the KSAs, all the min quals will be. So we've provided
to finalize the job description.
Absolutely.
Right now, this is just
yes,
we have the 2015
yes
version. we have some recommendations, and we're going to be combing through that as a team here.
That's
one of our next steps, is to really, with the feedback from the union, from the employees, the surveys, all of our wish lists, we'll compress all those into a cohesive document that says, this is what this person needs to look like, be able to do in order to achieve our objectives.
You have a multifaceted phase, so you'll have the resume development, which is the minimum qualifications that you need. Okay, so that's your day-to-day overview of their job.
Right.
Not exhaustive list, but
sure.
A day-to-day overview with a breakdown of the required education, knowledge, skills, abilities, all of that. But then we have a candidate profile that helps you to express your desired.
What does that person look like?
What does that person really look like? Not just
right.
Committed to the job description, but what characteristics,
sure.
What emotional quotients do you want this person to bring? We will lead you through that exercise so that you can express that to us and we can commit it to
a job. I just want to make a comment because I know very well educated in Nevada law, so like I don't know as most of you might know, but in other states, you are a physician and you are not licensed as a physician in that state, you cannot present yourself as a physician. So positions like this, like we already made the determination that it could be a physician or a non-physician. Let's say now I want to apply for a public health position in another state, and they have the two options, and I don't have the license, I will have to apply for the non-physician position. That's pretty much the same situation that could happen. But I cannot present myself as a physician during discussion because it's a violation. At least in some states like Florida or New York, you cannot do that.
We'll research it for sure.
So maybe Dr. Nemec could research it because he's the doctor. He's the representative that we look to on our board.
Can you help us out with that?
So maybe, Dr. Nemec, you could go back and get us.
Well, I have a fix now, and that would be to delete any specific additional requirements if a person is a physician. In fact, delete the whole comments about if the applicant is a physician and that they should be held to the same requirements as all other applicants.
Can I ask a question? So what happens if the chief medical officer is not there, then who fills in at that place? So would I don't know the reasoning behind why we had that, but I would want to understand how you could actually get the license through reciprocity or not in the time frame. I don't think it takes 6 months, but it takes more like a year and a half.
No, it's not.
But I mean, that's why I'm asking, maybe Dr. Nemec could go research all of that, because I don't know who takes the place of the chief medical officer isn't.
I think Dr. Nemec's point is that if we're going to be willing to hire, and please correct me if I'm not hearing you correctly, is that if we're willing to accept someone without a medical degree, why would we disqualify someone who has a medical degree but doesn't have an active license? It seems like it doesn't match up. And so I understand what he's saying, and what would we do if we didn't have a CMO? We would have that opening, we would be required to recruit for it.
No, she's saying we have one, but
yes.
Let's say he happens to give him a vacation every now and
right.
again. What is the hierarchy in terms of fulfilling
correct.
That medical requirement?
We have multiple physicians on staff.
Okay,
that we
so
would
we would
have
be
to
able to
correct.
Satisfy that. We have more than one MD
yes, correct.
On
yes.
as employees. That's what you were saying, right?
Yeah.
Just from a logistical standpoint, who's
yeah.
the designated
right.
survivor?
No, I mean, the answer is not a disqualifier. I never say that. What I'm saying is, if it is a physician who is not licensed in the state of Nevada,
they can't say MD after their name.
Right. So that will fill the position, the same position, but that the non-physician position, because that will require to have a chief medical officer supporting the activity. That's what I mean, according to what we have right now.
But I'm just saying, to Dr. Nemec's point, maybe that's A, B, and C question. Do you have this qualification? Are you willing to get this qualification? You know what I mean? So that we could kind of know what the long-term plan is.
Having a DHO who would be willing to go through the licensing process in Nevada might be helpful, even if we decided that we didn't need the MD to be the DHO. And that's because there are certain requirements under clinical licenses that there's no doctor in the house.
And when Dr. Legan or Dr. Iser wasn't here, they would switch roles for each other. If we needed, for example, a isolation and quarantine, we've got to have a doctor sign off on that. Well, if no doctor's in the house, what are we going to do? There are some, I think medical assistants who need a doctor around in proximity. So that's where the CMO, that's the value of having the CMO.
Well, I mean, I understand what Dr. Nemec is saying. I'm just saying, it goes back to my point is, let's not cut people out just because they don't meet a certain criteria. Let's ask as many questions to see what they can bring to the table, right?
Absolutely.
If the applicant is a licensed physician in the state of Nevada, that would be a value added, but it's not a requirement of this position.
Understood.
And I think that all references to physician applicants' requirements should, as in greater than what we're expecting of any other chief health officer should be.
And it might discourage somebody from applying because they say, oh, I'm not applying.
Right, and I know physicians who, we call them physicians, they have an MD, we call them doctor because they have an MD, but they're not licensed, they're not eligible to be licensed. They are non-licensed physicians.
So really at this point we're talking, we've kind of blended two matters together and let's keep them separate. One is to recruit the best candidate possible. We want to make sure that we're not limiting ourselves in any way. I think that's what Dr. Nemec's saying. What Commissioner Kirkpatrick is saying is there are also some logistical and legal operational components that we have to have in place in the event that we do have a district health officer that is not an MD or is not a licensed MD. We still need to address that. Those are two separate issues that we will both be addressed ultimately, but they are two separate issues, so, okay. All right, anything else?
Other question. Is the salary capped? Do we have discretion to give what we want?
That you have discretion. This is the one position that is not captured on the salary schedule and does not have to be published. You have an ability to make it based on their expertise or their qualifications.
Okay. All right. We'll go on to item 5, our second public comment. Anyone like to stand and speak to this committee? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment and adjourn this meeting. Thank you again for joining us today. This is good, exciting stuff for us.